Atlanta, Georgia.
We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Wednesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we are thankful that you have joined us on this fine Wednesday. So want to invite you out to our vintage worship service today at 11 o'clock. If you don't have anything to do, you'd like to hear the Word of God, worship Him, and join some brothers and sisters in Christ in presenting their needs before the Lord, we encourage you to come out, join us at 11 o'clock. We're very conscientious of the time there. I've let out early. I've let out a few minutes late, but whatever God leads. But we're pretty close as far as getting out at noon, and we encourage you to come out and join us. And also, I just want to invite you out, if you've got any kids that you'd like to train in the ways of the Lord, our kids ministry is doing quite well on Wednesday night, and encourage you to bring it out. We've got missionettes for girls, we got boys ministries, and we teach them the Word of God, and also real life skills and real life information. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, see us Wednesday nights. There's also a ladies Bible study that takes place at 6 o'clock is when we start serving food. The classes start at 6:30. They get done at 7:45. And so there's still plenty of time to get home and get them to bed on time. So come be a part of that if you would. I want to share with you, last Wednesday I had shared out of Isaiah chapter 30, and I didn't share, you know, a huge profound thing, but it was just a reminder. And it's in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 30, and the first part of the verse says this: "The Lord will cause His glorious voice to be heard." The Lord will cause His glorious voice to be heard. And that was specifically, if you drop down to verse number 30, what it says: "For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down." Assyria was coming and assaulting Judah. They actually carried off the 10 northern tribes into captivity. And God said, the solution for your Assyria problem is the glorious voice of the Lord being heard. We're coming up here in just a few days, preparing for the weekend. And I pray that in all of our churches, that it would not just be intellectual wisdom, that it would not just be something catchy or pithy, but instead that this Sunday when we gather, that the glorious voice of the Lord will be heard by His people. And I want you to know that God is calling out. He's using His glorious voice right now to call out to you and I, inviting us to come into His presence. And right now, my prayer for this radio broadcast is, God, will You cause Your glorious voice to be heard? And I want you to know that I'm thankful for the technology. I'm thankful for all of the conveniences that we have in life right now. But the reality is that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need the glorious voice of the Lord to be heard in our day and in our time. God's still speaking. He says in the Old Testament that there would be a time that there would be a famine from hearing the Word of God, not that there would be a famine of the Word being proclaimed, but that people would have a drought of hearing. We need, for our the issues, the problems, the challenges that we are facing in America right now, what we need once again is for the people of God to value, to treasure, and recognize, appreciate the glorious voice of the Lord. So I pray that you would make God a priority, not just this weekend, but during your day. Say, God, can I just come and spend some time with you? Would you impart wisdom from heaven into my life? God, may you help me to appreciate, to recognize your glorious voice. So anyway, wanted to share that with you today. We're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 50 today. We've got, I believe, three more. We're going to close out this week with Joseph, and then we're going to move on to another topic. And you know, you can apply this wisdom. Thank you all for all of the feedback that you have given of how much you've appreciated this study. But in verse number 12 of chapter 50, it says, "So his sons did for him just as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite, as property for a burial place. And after he had buried his father Joseph, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father." So I also want to read one more verse. It says in verse number 24, Joseph is speaking. He says, "Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This may sound like a bit of a strange message when you read those verses, but I want to remind you of the reason that the children of Israel had gone to Egypt in the first place. The reason that they had gone there was because there was going to be 7 years of famine. They went there and got food. They went there, and Joseph said, "There's 5 more years coming." But Jacob dwelt in the land of Egypt for 17 years. The famine had been over for 12 years. In the book of Ruth, you will find that Naomi's family left Bethlehem during a time of famine, and they ended up in a foreign country. And after Naomi's husband and both of her sons had died, and now she had 2 daughters-in-law and no grandchildren, no children, no husband, that she got word that the famine was over, and as a result of that, she made the decision to return back to Bethlehem. The famine was over, and she said, "It's time to go home. The famine is over." And I had this realization that the brothers could have stayed. The brothers could have, once they buried Jacob, they could have said, "You know what? This is our home. We are thankful for our time in Egypt. We are thankful Joseph was there to provide for us, but it is time to return back to our normal lives because the famine was over." The famine was over. And yet, during this time, it was true that they were doing work in Egypt. They were living in the best of the land. And I don't know, maybe it was just so comfortable, it was so easy, that they said, "You know what, we're just going to go back and we're going to let Joseph continue to take care of us." But I want to remind you that when the government started taking care of the Egyptians' food needs, that they lost all of their property, they lost all of their tools, and they became slaves in their own land, purchased by their own money because of crisis. And I want to point out to you that the future of the Israelites, even though it did not happen during Joseph's lifetime, that the future of the Israelites as they remained in Egypt was that they were going to eventually become enslaved again. I want to remind you, though, the famine was over. They were not drugged to Egypt as slaves or by compulsion. They went by invitation. And I want to point out to you that Egypt had a great reputation of being a place where people could come and they could go as they pleased. Abram had gone down and sought refuge in Egypt, and when time came for him to leave, he was able to leave. It happened a number of times during the Babylonian captivity. The children of Israel ended up in Egypt as a place of refuge. There were people during David's reign and during Solomon's reign that they went down to Egypt and they came back out of Egypt once again. They when there was a time of hostility, a time of adversity, they would go down and they would stay in Egypt, but they could leave when the crisis was over. And I want to extend an invitation to you today, and that is this, that you may have been at a place for a difficult season. It may have been a job that you had that got you through a difficult place. But I want you to know today that God does not cause famine to endure forever. I want to challenge you this. Don't get stuck. Don't get trapped. Don't think that you do not have the option to walk out in liberty, the liberty that Christ has provided for you. I'm specifically talking right now about maybe there's some habits that you've developed and the enemy has told you, well, you know, you're so addicted right now that you are never going to get out. I want you to know that with Jesus, today can be your Independence Day. Today, the power of the enemy's stronghold in your life can be broken. The decision is yours. Are you going to go back to what you are most familiar with, what you're most comfortable with, or are you going to say, you know, Joseph, we are so thankful that you provided for us during this crisis, but it's really time that we got back to life as normal. We don't want to overstay our welcome. We don't want to see what happened to the Egyptians. We don't want to see that happen to us as well. You see, there's a lot of people who, when other people are being enslaved, when other people are being afflicted, that they don't have a problem with it because it's not touching them. But I would tell you that sentence does not end with it, that it's not touching them. There's another word that should belong there, and that is the word yet. If it's not touching you, but it's touching other people, I want you to look around and ask this question. Well, what is keeping the enemy from afflicting me? I don't want to overstay my welcome. You see, Israel was going to be blessed. Israel was going to increase. And I know that there was a prophetic word from God that was given to Abraham that said that they would stay there for a long time. But I want you to know it was by their choice. Today, I want to remind you that before you has been set life and death, therefore choose life. What are you choosing today? Are you choosing to stay at a place of comfort or a place of convenience? Or you say, God, I want to thank you for that season, but I am ready to break out and to develop a whole new gifting set. I'm willing to mature and become more in Christ than I've ever become before. I want to ask you today, are you in danger of procrastinating so long that it's not going to be long till the enemy takes the comfort that you have been blessed with and uses that as a stronghold to imprison and enslave you? I hope this is making sense today, because Jacob or Joseph, when he got back to Egypt, and we'll talk a little bit more about what was going on there tomorrow, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. and spoke kindly to them. Listen, thank God for those good words. Thank God for your job. Thank God for this. But I want you to know that your life was meant to be more than just someone taking care of you. When you go to church on Sunday, it should not be a consumer mindset that is there. Well, I'm here at this church because of this program, or I'm here at this church because of what it can do for me in this area. Instead, it should be, I'm here because the Lord has caused his glorious name to be heard here. The Lord has caused. Listen, it was going to take the glorious name of the Lord to be heard to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were crying out, they were afflicted and all of that, and the reality was they were there by invitation. They were there by an invitation from Pharaoh. And later on, there was a man, and he said, you know, I want to go back to my people. I want to go back. And Pharaoh said, well, what have you lacked here? And he said, absolutely nothing, but let me go back to my people. Today, if you are away from God, and, you know, it's been a dry season, it's been a difficult season, there's been problems that have arisen, but God has kept you alive by his grace and his mercy. I want to tell you today that there's a work that took place on the cross 2,000 years ago that was done by a man who came to set the captives free. Can I just share that word with you today? It's in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. It's in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. And today, I'm here to decree freedom is available. I'm here today to tell you that God is able to break the chains that the enemy has used to keep you bound. You might say it's not so bad right now. The situation is deteriorating, but it's not too bad right now. I tell you, do not wait for your little trash can fire to become a three alarm inferno. Instead, I want to let you know that the famine is over. There are plenty of resources for you to hear the word from God. You do not have to stay imprisoned. Most frequently used tactics of the enemy is the spirit of hopelessness, where you say, this is my only option. This is the only thing that I am able to do. I want you to know that in God, that is not the case. Jesus was the one who fulfilled this. In Luke chapter 4, I believe it is. Let me turn over there just a second to just make sure. Luke chapter 4. He is tempted in the wilderness, and in verse 17 it says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, listen to this, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, freedom is available for you. Today, liberty is available for you. Today, healing is available for you. Today, the oppression can end. Today, the blind are able to see. Today, those who are oppressed are set at liberty. Today, you can know that it is the acceptable year of the Lord. 2015 does not have to go down as the worst year of your life. Instead, it can go down as the great testimony that that was the year that I walked out of any future bondage and I resumed my destiny. You see, Isaiah chapter 61 says there's a work that I have for you to do. There is something that it's not just about us being taken care of. It is about what has God called us to do. And in order for us to walk in that destiny, Isaiah 61 says that there needs to be some comfort for the time of mourning. Just like the brothers, they'd come, there was a season of mourning, but there is comfort that is available from God for you today. It says that he wants to give you beauty for ashes. Ashes were something that were once vibrant and lively and had a beautiful appearance to them, but fire and devastation came in and it reduced everything to just a pile of ash. There was a time in my life that I went and I had a desire for some Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies, which this was when I was a kid, and I don't even like Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies anymore. Sorry, Chips Ahoy. I don't even know who makes you, but I mean, I will eat you if you are set before me, and I have no other options. I will eat you, but there are some other cookies that I prefer better. But there was this day, you know, there was a Chips Ahoy bag that was laying around the living room, and I decided that I would go and eat, and I shook it. And you could tell from the sound in the bag that there were no whole cookies left. But man, is there anybody that says, you know, when you got a taste for something, you'll take a crumb if you can get it. And so I didn't even look. I just opened it up, assumed that there were cookie crumbs, cookie small chunks down in there. And so I reached down and I grabbed. And what I didn't realize is that all the crumbs were gone too. And somebody had taken an ashtray and put ashes in there. And I put those ashes in my mouth, and I'm telling you, ashes do not taste like cookies. And I want you to know, I got those ashes out of my mouth just as quickly as I could. I never got any cookies that day, but I got the ashes out of my mouth. I want you to declare to you today that God wants to take away your ashes, and he wants to give you something beautiful. Ashes remind you of what once was. God wants to give you something beautiful, which reminds you of who he now is. And so he says, I've got to give you the oil of joy. I've got to change your garments. I've got to give you the garment of praise so that you take off that spirit of heaviness and oppression. He said, I've got a purpose for you that you raise up the old ruins, the former desolate places, the ruined cities. I want you to know that there are going to be strangers living in these streets again. There are going to be flocks in the land again. But all of this blessing, this future role as priests of God, this future role as servants of God, where they partake of the riches of the earth, and instead of shame, there's double honor, and they the everlasting joy being theirs, all of that, there's got to be a decision that says, you know what? I'm not going to be enslaved any longer. You and I, we belong to the household of faith. And I want you to know that God is not into bondage and to slavery. He is into covenant. Today, I want you to know that I am not a slave to my wife. She's not a slave to me, but we do walk in covenant. We are yoked together. We're not going anyplace as far as that covenant is going. We're not breaking it. We are going to continue to grow it and to develop it. And I'm thankful. So hear me. I'm not saying, you know, walk out on a relationship that's a covenant relationship. What I am saying today is if you've gone through a season of famine and life is suddenly not as bad as it once was, I want to encourage you to walk in the liberty that Christ has used to set us free. Don't allow the deception of comfort to blind you to what is going on all around you. Goshen, when God moved by the plagues to bring the children of Israel out, Goshen had a special place. You know, they were protected during many of the plagues, but there was bondage all around them. Be careful. Look around. When it comes to voting, look, I don't want to be a slave to the government. And listen, if they promise you all sorts of things, that may be fine, well, and good, but I will tell you this, there are probably some strings attached to that someplace. I want you to walk in the freedom. The borrower is servant to the lender, and listen, man, when people are in control of the purse strings, you know, right now there's budget talks that are going on and things like that. I want to walk in freedom. I want you to know that if you came by invitation, if you came because you were going through a difficulty, that God is saying, hey, when the famine is over, don't let comfort make you a slave. Don't let comfort make you a slave. I don't know if this message will really, you know, resonate with you, but it was something that spoke to me. And so if nobody else got anything out of it today, I did. I'm going to walk in the freedom that God has used to set us free. Amen. Father, we just praise you and thank you right now. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort who comforts us during our times of mourning and affliction. But God, I pray that you would cause us to be aware that you have a future privilege for us, and that is walking with a duty, with a responsibility, with a task that you have put in our hand. God, today I pray that the power of addiction would be broken. I pray that there would be a drive that is birthed in people's hearts and in their lives to say, I am going to become as everything that God has for me. I'm going to become the man of God, the woman of God that God wants me to be, and I will serve him in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.